Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll follow, though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I blessing. May I
Glory to God. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We give you praise, give you honor and glory. This is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your presence tonight, Lord God. And we thank you for your spirit, Lord God. Move through this line tonight, Lord God, as we come together. Touch the hearts of each and every one, Lord God. Move in an awesome and mighty way, Lord Jesus. We thank you for invitation and manifestation. We thank you for empowerment. Thank you for change. Lord God, we thank you for even renewing our mind according to your word. So we thank you, Lord God, for this empowering moment, this empowering time that we have before you, Lord God, as we continue to stand before you, Lord God. We thank you for you have strengthened us, Lord God, allow us to stand in Jesus' name. Thank you for our hearts even to be upright before you, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, that our life that we live will be a life of faith in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we thank you that you shall continue to prove out, Lord God, through us who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, Lord God, that we should stand strong, Lord God, and cry out. We should stand strong, Lord God, and even as we continue to go forward, that we should be the representative of Christ that we ought to be in Jesus' name. Lord, as we stand as your ambassadors in chains, Lord God, we thank you that we're willing to submit ourselves to you, and we thank you, Lord God, for the change, Lord God. Thank you for the harmonious move and the flow of your spirit, even through each and every one of us together, one accord. Thank you for unity. We bind up the division and strife and anything, Lord God, that's against your word. And we thank you for your divine instruction for such a time as this. And we embrace your presence, Lord God, even as you brought us to this place in you tonight. We thank you for impact. We thank you for change. We thank you for maximum results in Jesus' name. So, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, as we continue to walk and flow in you, Lord God. We thank you that in you we live, we move, and we have our being, Lord God. And we thank you as we fully submit and surrender ourselves to you. So, Lord God, show yourself strong, Lord God, today as we follow you, Lord God, your leading and your guidance in Jesus' name, Lord God. We thank you that even taking us beyond ourselves, even beyond what we can imagine or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So, Father, thank you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, do what you desire to do, Lord God, as we come before you tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the impartation. We thank you for manifestation. We thank you for the change to take place right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Thank you for this block talk moment, Lord God. Let it be an experience in your presence, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for having your way tonight, and we thank you for the manifestation of change and the newness of life that's coming forth, bursting through like never before. In Jesus' name, Lord God, hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you as we submit to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you for new life. Let it now begin, oh God. So we thank you, Lord God, in advance for what you're about to do and how you're doing it, Lord God. We thank you that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Lord God, for the impact and change right now as we submit to you in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh, we thank you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, raise us up for such a time as this, Lord God, as we continue to flow in you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you for bringing forth new life. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. So, Father, we give you praise, give you all the honor and glory. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. 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 Welcome to Block Talk. Amen. Block Talk Experience tonight. And I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree, Eagles of Flight All. And we thank God for each and every one of you. As we go forth into the Word tonight, we thank God for the maximum impact and change that should come forth, because it's not our opinion that changes lives, but it's truly the Word of God. And we thank God for the opportunity we have to share His Word tonight. We pray sincerely that whoever may hear this Word tonight, that it shall touch you, it shall change you, provoke you to go to another place in God. Amen. Our desire is to love the Word of God first to change us, and as we pass it to you, that you shall allow the Word to change you and also help change others as you touch their lives. So let's go with us to Romans chapter 8. Amen. Romans chapter 8, starting verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of flesh, the sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is spiritual-minded, spiritually-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he is none of his own. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in thee. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For he did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we call Abba Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the Creator himself also shall be delivered. The creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of Christ. Of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travail in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And for we are saved by hope, and but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why do he hope for? But if we hope for that what we see, for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also himself, the Spirit also help our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about the power of walking in relationship and not religion. The power of walking in relationship and not religion. Well, I remember my very first message. It was not my very first message, but it was, I think, my next message after my initial sermon years ago. I asked the question, do you have religion or relationship? I remember that. But tonight I come in a different way. I come asking you, come helping you or propelling you to understand and know the power of walking in religion, relationship versus religion. We must realize that the difference between religion and relationship, in most simplest form, I could go to a whole bunch of definitions and everything, but this is the simplest way to put it. Religion is a bunch of rules, do's and don'ts, of how to live, what people may think or man may think is a way to show respect unto God, or the thing that they think that God may be pleased with. It's also a way of life that has been constructed by our do's and don'ts. Okay, relationship is more so of it's a way of life, but it's more intimate. It's evolving. It's engaged. It's alive. It's functioning. It's flowing. See, relationship takes you where religion couldn't even begin. See, religion is a bunch of rules set. And we look at when people hear some people come to Christianity, they people just begin to pull the rule book. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this and that and that and this and that. Which to some extent, some of that is true. It is kind of true that some things you don't want to do or don't want to do. But understanding why you don't is the difference to me, because I can tell you some things you don't want to do. We both can say the same thing. But in a relationship, we understand better why those things that we don't do. With relationship, we understand why those things are necessary to do, for instance. And you do mention, if there's anyone who may want to call in, who may have a question, answer a question or prayer request, whatever you may need, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to speak. Amen. Press 1 to speak. All right, so here we go. So as we get into this, I could use a whole bunch of scripture, but I want to talk about this tonight and really kind of get into it. But as we see in Romans chapter 8, it tells us a lot about living according to the Spirit versus the flesh. And a lot of attention with religion is brought about the flesh. It's about don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. But when we talk about relationship with Christ, it's more so spiritually led than a bunch of rule book, than a rule book. We have the Word of God to understand God's mind, His heart, and you know, and understand why some things we do and some things we don't. as we look at the Word of God and what the Word of God gives to us, it gives us insight into the heart and mind of God. It is very important for us to understand that God did not free us from bondage of sin to put us in a bondage of relationship. Put us in a bondage of religion, excuse me. God did not save us from the bondage of sin to put us in a bondage of religion. Let me say that one more time. God did not save us from the bondage of sin to put us in the bondage of religion. My Lord, my Lord. I know this is, just walk with me, just walk with me. The reason why God did not do that is because he wants us to experience freedom. The Bible says, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God desires us to walk in liberty, freedom. He didn't save us from bondage of sin to put us in the bondage of religion. So we have to understand that when we come out of sin and we find ourselves in bondage again, we have to ask, where did I get free from? Did I get free from sin and death to come into being in bondage of religion? That's not the heart of God. That was not his intentions. That was not his heartbeat giving us the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm going to get a closer look at that because I really want us to catch that. Okay, so, like, once again, now the other verse again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Now, let me read back, go back a little bit. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. See, the Old Testament had the Ten Commandments. That was a lot of rules of what, if we talk about far as living a life of pleasing God, these are the rules of how we should to show us where we missed the mark. The law was the thing of shadows, was the shadow of things to come. The law was the way of walking aright in Old Testament that the New Testament should show forth and manifest when we walk in relationship. But now here is Old Testament, we're talking about doing it according to the flesh, because they didn't have that connection with God by the Spirit the way we did, you know, how we just the way we do. And now in New Testament times, Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon them to help them to do what was a task before them to do. So it was their choice, and by their power they did things and they tried to walk it, but they still didn't walk completely. But they had men who walked upright before God because they had a relationship with God. Not like how we have that, not being technically positioned like we are today. Now let's use Abraham for example. Abraham didn't have a Bible in the per se. He didn't have the books of the Bible to go by. He didn't have the guidance that we like. We have the Word of God. We don't have Abraham. He had to live a life in communication with God on his own efforts. You know, he had to spend time with God. He had to learn God as far as what he was passed down knowledge, of course, what he experienced, his ancestors' experience of God, and they walked in that, and that's what he did. And, of course, his own time, his own way of getting to know God, that's what set him apart from everyone else, because his efforts to know God caused him to be separated from everyone else. Everyone else, you know, they did what they did, but he knew God to the point to where God visited him, spent time with him, talked with him, had communication with him, and God actually called Abraham his friend. See, even though he was in Old Testament times, he found a New Testament way of relating with God that a lot of other people didn't have. So when we see the difference between Abraham, that's why God was able to use Abraham in the capacity that he was able to use him for. I can name some other ones who walked in that type of relationship, but using Abraham because he was the father of the faith, because of what he demonstrated through his relationship with God, gave us a platform, not only gave us a platform, but gave us an example for New Testament times now of how that relationship with God is supposed to look like. Glory to God. So we see from Abraham, once again, an example of how a relationship with God looks like in the flesh, in the person. And so when we see how God came down, visited Abraham, talked to him, gave him guidance, Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham made mistakes. But at the same time, Abraham knew how to talk to God. He took time out to talk to God. The difference between religion and relationship is religion is a bunch of laws, man-made laws, or even laws pertaining to a religion or whatever it is. It's telling you a bunch of do's and don'ts, but there's no real connection. A relationship is a connection. In this case, a relationship is a connection with God that goes beyond, not away from the word, but it goes beyond the word to where, you know, this connection becomes so real that even if you didn't find some things in the Bible, your relationship with him will guide you and keep you in the right place with God. So here it is. There's some things in life that we face and deal with that we may not can find directly in the word of God, but it's enough of the word of God that we have that will give us guidance even in our daily decisions. And listening and following his spirit through relationship would guide us in all truth. That's why he said, I will send you another comfort. He said, Jesus said, I will send you a comfort. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort, to guide us, to lead us, to protect us, and even teach us. And as we walk in relationship with God, his spirit, the Holy Spirit teaches us, guides us in all truth. Now, he said, no need for man to teach you, but at the same time, he still had men teach us. That's why he gave us the fivefold ministry, you know, these gifts unto the church to help us to be taught, trained, understood, to grow, to flourish, to be who God calls us to be. It all worked together for our good. So yes, even though we have a relationship with God, but that's not the only way you should live your day. I don't need no pastor. That's not correct. That's incorrect. That's bad teaching, and that's pride. We have to understand that God has put these vessels in the earth also that he speaks through to teach us the way we should walk. You know, and not saying they're all perfect either. Because we all have to walk this thing out for ourselves. We all have decisions to make. See, the same requirement that I tell you as a leader that you need to walk with God is the same measure that I also have to walk into. I have to spend time with God the same way I'm instructing you and telling you to spend time with God too. Because if I don't spend time with God, you know, it's amazing. You can grab hold of that word and begin to get closer with God and walk into things of God. And me, myself, be cast away. Because why? Because if I'm not practicing what I'm preaching, I'm walking as a hypocrite. And not only that, but I won't have the results that I'm trying to lead you to have. So you could actually grab hold of it, take it and run with it, and have a greater relationship with God than I ever touched, you know, that I could have. That's why our salvation walk is a one-on-one thing with God, is a one-on-one personal relationship with God. That's what it ultimately is. And so as we have our personal relationship with God, that means we are responsible for our own relationship. We are responsible for building we have our own responsibility for building and also cultivating our walk with God. When someone cultivates a field, they make that ground workable. That work ground could be stuff, it could be stiff, and it could be used hard up, but you go into that ground to prepare the ground for cultivating, chopping it up, working that ground so now when you come back and put a seed there, it can properly be seeded in order for growth to come. If you just throw a seed on top of the ground, I mean, it may grow just like a little shallow, have a shallow growth, and it'll grow, but doing a certain type of weather or certain complications, it's not going to last. See, we go deeper in the things of God so we can stand, so we can be able to perform, so we can be who God's called us to be. If we don't take time to cultivate our hearts, cultivate our relationship, our walk with God, so God can allow His word, His seed of His word, be planted in our hearts, we can't properly grow in the manner that we need to. So this is why we don't need religion. We don't need to be necessarily religious, but we need to have relationships. So in knowing God, so Christianity gives us the opportunity to walk in relationship with God instead of just a bunch of rules. Now, people had Judaism back then. There was a bunch of rules to live by and a bunch of things. They required you to do this and required you to do that. But it did not cause you to have a relationship with God. It did not position you in a way to walk with God the way you can through Christianity. So when we understand it, so the true essence of this Christianity, this walk that we have, it is based off what you put in. Glory to God. It's going to be what you put into it. It's going to give you exactly what you put in. If you put effort, time in your walk with God, you're going to reap that relationship with God. If you don't, well, you won't have one. Even though you may be saved, but you may not have a full relationship with God because you're not spending any time cultivating the ground of your heart and preparing so when the seed of the word goes into your heart, now it should begin to break forth fruit, growth, understanding, and all those things that you need to be a strong Christian believer. To have a true relationship with God. And like I said earlier, religion is a bunch of rules set, you know, by man Old Testament times that we used to live by and try and honor and respect. But at the same time, relationship, it causes you, your relationship to evolve. It becomes another thing. It becomes a new creation. It becomes life. Your relationship with God should be living, functioning, moving, productive. We serve a productive God. We serve a God of production. He said if what we're doing does not produce, like in John chapter 15, talking about us bringing the divine and talking about the divine in the Father. Your Father, he wants us to be productive and producing fruit. If our walk with God is not fruitful or productive, it's not looking like what God wants us to have. So if anyone desires to call or have any questions, comments, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. So as we kind of go further here, now let's go back to when we were in the Word. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 once again. So Romans chapter 8 is very important because it shows us how to don't stop at just getting saved. It shows us how to not only now here because it shows us a person who's spiritually led versus a person who's carnal. Technically saved, but then but still being conformed to the flesh, doing after the flesh. So there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So in other words, there's no need for you to feel bad about what would happen in your life. Now that you're in Christ, now you have opportunity to do better. So don't let it get to you. For the law of the Spirit in Christ, Jesus, have made me free from the law of sin and death. This life in Christ has freed me from the rule book of trying to live according to former rules and former standards. At the same time, this is a new commandment that God Jesus gave. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. So we can fairly say that Christianity or having a relationship with God, let me keep it to where we are tonight. Having a relationship with God takes you from religion to freedom, or takes us from a bunch of rules to walking in love. Hear what I'm saying. Having a relationship with God takes me away from having a bunch of rules, living according to a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts, to now a place of love. That's what Jesus says. You have a new commandment. In that new commandment, I want to find that one. New commandment. Bear with me for 1 second. But this is important for us, because if we don't transition from initial salvation, we'll find ourselves walking in religion. Okay. Let's go to First John. Oh, here it is. Okay. John chapter 13, verse 34 says, a new commandment I give unto thee, that you love one another. I have loved you, that you also love one another. John chapter 13, verse 34. Let me go back a little bit. He says, verse 33, says, John chapter 13, verse 33 says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot go. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He says, verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. See, this is very important. Walking in relationship is walking in love. When we walk in true relationship with God, our relationship should always produce love. It's guided by love, monitored by love. That's why the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit produces love through us. So we try to do all these other things, but we've missed the most important part. The nature of our relationship with God is love. Without love, then you can have all the gifts. You can have some signs and wonders following, but without love, it doesn't make true impact. It's the love that we walk in that makes our walk with God so impactful to those who are around us. That love factor makes the difference. I could put every little Buddha in front of me and say, oh, that's my God, but that Buddha ain't paying attention. That Buddha is not loving me. That Buddha ain't forgiving. I mean, it's doing nothing. That's an idol. That's a dead God. It's not alive. But when we talk about living and functioning after the true, living, wise God, my relationship with God is real, active, even up to the moment. He leads me, guides me, all truth. He loves me. I love him. That love that I have for him, he says, okay, so you get there, John 13:34. Then he says, then I want to go to John chapter 14. He says, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, relationship challenges your love walk. Yeah, it provokes you to walk in a place with God that you couldn't do by yourself. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, the connection, it goes beyond. See, okay, when we look at it, religion was to have us following a bunch of rules, but there's no love connection there. A bunch of rules is just a bunch of rules. Do this, do that, do that. You don't have to love God, but just do this, and that. You're supposed to show by you just doing that, you're supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to be a good person because you follow a bunch of rules. But with Christianity, it takes you to another place, because not only that, now my thing is, instead of going functioning plainly on rules, it, now even though those rules have a place, because that's the foundation of all, because when you talk about the Ten Commandments, those were to help us to make sure, to help us to live a life pleasing unto God. So now as I've come into a relationship with God, I accept him in my heart as my Lord and Savior. Now not only I put his laws into my heart, but I put his laws into my heart, but when it's converted from my heart to my actions, it produces love. See, it's like this. It's like if we have a machine. Okay, we have a. Some people have a food. You ever had some of you? I know when you have a food processor. It makes this announcement. If anyone needs to call and have questions, comments, concerns, they made the numbers 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to speak. Now look at a food processor. The food. Okay, you put a You put some broccoli into a food processor. You put it in, that's the law. That's the law. We put it in with the law, the Old Testament says. But then after it's processed, see, you can eat it in the natural form of broccoli. You can eat it like that. Or you let it go into your heart, process through you. Now when it comes out in liquid form. It comes out in a drink form. So it's easier to get that the nutrition from the law in the natural broccoli form. You can get it from that way, right? But then as you process it through your relationship with God, you read his word, you let his word hit in my heart that I may not have sinned against thee. See, his word is going to help you live a life before God is pleasing, and as it converts through you, now it produces. Or as you produce it in the food processor, you broke it down to a place of where you can actually drink it, but actually through that way, it's broken down to now to another form, and so the way is broken down from the natural form when you first put it in the food processor, and it processes through. Now it's the same word. Same laws, put it in the processor through Jesus Christ, and as it comes through and we connect with him with relationship in the form of love. So now the form that it comes now is not only has it been broken down to liquid term to where we can actually drink it, but it also produces love. It comes in the form of love. So as we apply this word to our hearts, as we live this word, move in it, grow in it. The way he said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. See, it all works together as we go forth and show forth his, you know, we live out this word, live out our Christianity, walk, live out this relationship with God, whatever, as we're living this thing out, it produces love. Because if I love him, I'm going to love you. If I love him, I'm going to do you right. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to come after you and say a whole bunch of stuff about you. Now, see, because this lets me know, if I still could be comfortable in sin and do the thing I'm not supposed to do, and yet I say I love him, then something's wrong with my standing to God. There's something wrong with me and my place with God. I'm not where I thought I was, because it causes me to look at my actions. See, if my actions are producing the opposite of what I'm saying, or not, if it's producing something that was not supposed to come through or supposed to be done through the Word of God, then it's saying something different. So if I'm looking at love as I apply the Word of God to my life, it's going to come out in the form of love in whatever I do. Because if I love you, I'm going to forgive you. If I love you, I'm going to help you do what I need to. Now, of course, that's not saying that I have to be a yes man and, you know, so that I can't say no. But the heart behind whatever I say should always be love. It should not be some maliciousness or hatred or anything. Love is the whole governor to the whole thing. As I walk in my relationship with God, love is my guide. Love is my motivation, my motivator. And love is the very thing that's going to cause me to help me to see past your faults and see you for who you are and to pray with you. Jesus was compelled by that love, and he prayed for the people. He spent time, he went above and beyond because of love. See, that's why he was able to say, he was able to go to the place of the cross and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. That came from that place of love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's go there right quick. Amen. I pray that you understand what I'm, you know, getting at. I know it's a little different. It's coming a little different way tonight. But, amen, just if you can understand truly the heart behind it, you understand why he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, if you really love me the way you do, you say you do, keep my commandments. You know, you just continue, you know, or let me say this. If you love me like the way you say you do, stay in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. Because it says, okay, the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill. If I love you, I'm not going to kill you. let me do this. So that's very important. We know about that one. That's. Let me show you something right quick. Okay, let's look at the Old Testament, and it says, let's see. Okay. I'm trying to actually get to the OT. Okay. Let's see. Okay, let's go to verse. Try to find where it begins at. Anyway, let's go to 22. Okay, let's look at some of that. Now, this one is going to be kind of different parts of that. But anyway, let me just use for example. Verse 22, Exodus 22 and 22 says, you should not afflict any widow or childless. If you afflict them, that's not what I want. Well, yeah, that could work, though. Anyway, so he goes on to say, you should not afflict them. In other words, if I love a widow, I should not afflict her or the childless. So when we talk about love, It's in our actions that speak louder than our words. So even though we have the Old Testament, we have the Ten Commandments, but you know we have religion. You know we have different rules and everything. But really, when it comes down to it, what is it really saying? So when it comes out to me, my love for my God shall compel me to love you. My love for him is compelling me to do you right. My love for him is going to keep me when I can't even keep myself. Because of my love for him, that I'm going to be able to turn from sin and not participate in sin, because I love him. So when we go from religion, a bunch of just rules, that's why it makes it look kind of, you know, religion just is a bunch of work. Because I'm doing it because it says don't do this and don't do that. It's a bunch of work. But when I go from religion to relationship, it's because I love him. I'm going to do good to others. Because I love him, I'm not going to sin against my own body. Because I love him, I'm not going to sin against you. Because I love him. See, relationship takes me to a place of love. Why? It makes it powerful. So he said, take my yoke, learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, we try to live life in a, you know, being a religion or religiously, but it should be a thing of love. Love should be the motivating factor for anything that I do, especially doing God. If love is not there, I'm not going to do it in the proper heart that it takes for me to be effective in my love walk with God to be effective the way it ought to be. True impact cannot be made without love. I heard something in the song that says, people don't care how much you know. They just want to know how much you care. See what I'm saying? Without that love factor, what you're doing don't really make a difference, because if it's not done out of love, it's not going to be effective. You can have a bunch of works, but without love, it means nothing. Let's go to Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter 13. Then we like to call it the love chapter. Let's go there right quick. Amen. It makes so living out this word, it makes it a whole lot easier to live out this word if we're doing it from the standpoint of relationship and not religion. That's one of the key things I want to make sure right there. Because when we live this word according to according to God's purpose and plan, if we're talking about really living this word out, if we do it as a bunch of rules, it's going to be hard to do. Because you're saying you can't do this, you can't do that. And if our perception is a bunch of rules, or we have a religious pursuit of the word, if we have a religious mindset towards the word, it's going to be a bunch of work, okay? All right, though, he said, First Corinthians 10:13, it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. That's heavy. What? With tongues of men and angels? He said, and I have not love, I am become as sounding brass. Let me see the CSB version. If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I'm talking about ain't saying nothing. And this is how some people, sinners, see some Christians. Because we're saying a bunch of stuff, but we ain't doing it, it's not coming out in the form of love. And we can still hate them and now acting all funny towards them. We all better than them. And, you know, our attitude makes a big difference towards them. Verse 2 says, if I have the gift of prophecy, my God, and understand all mystery and all knowledge, my God, all information, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but have no love, it's not effective. I have nothing. You can do all those great things in the spirit, but without love is no connection, and it cannot make the proper impact. So you can have all this religious jargon, religious speech, religious outlook, and dressing, you know, a certain kind of way religiously. But if you can't have a conversation with a brother or someone who's not even saved and just sincerely talk to them about the love of Christ for real without your religion, this is why we cannot let our titles go to our head and begin to think that we all that just because we're ordained, we're affirmed. We can't, you know, just because God called you to do this and that. Listen, if we're not grounded in Him and we're not producing love in whatever we do, or people can't feel the love in what we do, we're wasting our time. It's what good is the achievements and accomplishments in the things of God and the things presented to church if we don't have love. Without love, there's no real connection, there's no impact, there's not going to be any change. Okay, goes on further. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. If I didn't do that in the way of love, to where it touched the hearts of men, until they felt my sacrifice of my life. Listen, the way Stephen, I want you to hear this, the way Stephen, remember Stephen in the Old Testament, when he preached the word and it cut them to their heart, the men picked up the stones and stoned Stephen. And before Stephen died, he looked up, he saw Jesus. Heaven opened up, he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And he knew, he saw something that Jesus must be, he saw that look on Jesus' face. He knew whatever had happened, he was about to please God. That for heaven to open up and witness this moment as he's about to lose his life, or rather give his life for the gospel's sake, what does Stephen say? Father, forgive, like Jesus said. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't let this charge, don't be put to them, because they know not what they do. In order for Jesus to make that statement, in order for even Stephen to make that statement, it had to come out of a place of love and not religion. I'm sorry, religion can't have you do that. There's no way in the world you can say that being religious. Really say that and have the proper impact because it's real. Oh, no, you have to do that from a place of relationship. See, relationship takes it from a bunch of rules to reality and life flowing impact through love. So when we live this life through relationship, with a relationship with God, this is what causes the gospel to come alive, that comes out of our mouth. We're not just speaking a bunch of scriptures. We're not just telling about this and saying about that. But then there's no power. There's no power. See, relationship gives the power behind what we say. Relationship is the impact of what we do. When we walk in true relationship with God, it touches lives for real. People can feel the God in you. People can tell that you've come with God. You've been with God. Religion don't do that. Religion said pray, and that's it. You know, you pray and do what you know, just pray. But when we have a, see, when I do it out of religion, I said, okay, 7 o'clock, okay, 3 o'clock, I used to pray for 10 minutes. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm glad that 10 minutes over. It's a long 10 minutes. Oh, God, here's 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. If we just got those times set, and we come pray for 5 or 10 minutes and just say, oh, Lord, I love you, thank you, Jesus. But then we're not really doing it from a place of love. We're just going through the motions. But every time I come before the presence of God, I should first of all come with an expectation. I desire to be in His presence because I understand I'm coming to spend time with my Father. I'm coming to spend some time with my elder brother. I come to spend time with the Holy Spirit. I come to spend time with them. John chapter 14, John chapter 14 talks about that. Okay, we will come back to that, but John chapter 14 says, let me go on down, says, Okay, verse 20. At that day, you shall know. Okay, let me go to verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world see me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. You shall know that I am in my Father. See, he's in his Father. And you in me, and I in you. See, that's where relationship positions us to really walk with him. And verse 21 says, he that have my commandments and keep them, he it is that love me. See, he that have my commandments and keep them is he that love me. So you're not stopping just being religious, just doing, you know, what you think, man, you know, whatever. But he said, keep my commandments. He that have my commandments, have the word, and keep them. In other words, honor that. It is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be the love of my Father. See, you're not just stopping at a bunch of rules, the regulations, but you hear his word, you apply his word to your life, and you allow his word to produce the love. You're allowing that word to work on you, your relationship with him, makes it all alive, takes it to another place. Because you love him, you're gonna take his word and live by his word. Because you realize if we live by his word, that's what's gonna make the impact in people's lives. That word is what's gonna change lives. That word is gonna cause a manifestation, power released. But it needs to be done through a place of love. If in our relationship with God, if we don't have love, we don't have anything. You got to have love. He goes on to say, he shall be love of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23 says, and Jesus answered and said to him, If a man love me, he shall keep my words, keep the word of God. So you still can't do without a word. You still need a word. And it says, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. It means I'm going to stay with you. In other words, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now think about this. I'm not just speaking from a place to a place of a bunch of religious rules, regulations. That's not going to bring me to the place of power in God. But when I allow his word, the process in my heart, for him to deal with me, and I spend time with God, having a conversation with God, speaking, you know, really knowing God, this brings me into a place of power. Because now the presence of God is with me. He's there encouraging me, building me up. And then when I come certain times of the day to spend time with him, he enjoys spending time with me as I enjoy spending time with him. My relationship becomes real. Love is the governor through the whole thing. Because I love him, I'm going to spend time with him. And because I love him, I'm going to spend time reading his word. Because I love him, I'm going to love you. Because you are a part of him. And Eve, that's save or sinner. Because I love him, I'm going to love you. Save or sinner. It doesn't matter. Because we're all God's creation. Of course, everyone is not God's child. Because everyone is not in his covenant walk with him. So for those who are in his covenant walk, for those believers, yes, I'm going to love him. But also, I'm still going to love the sinner man. The one who may not be walking up right for God. The one who probably just came out of sin. The bottom line is, his love, there's no limit. When we love through relationship with God, let me go to Galatians 22. I'm going to stop there for tonight. Galatians 22. Give me 5:22. Man, it's so much to this thing, you know, because we get so caught up on just being religious, just doing what we know is right to do. But at the same time, we don't have no love, no drive behind what we do. So we just kind of going through the motions. Galatians 5:22 says, um, 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now get that. Listen to that. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, that's singular, love. The fruit that the Spirit of God in your life produces is love. See, it's our part to learn the word. Okay? As we learn the word, and as we grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, as he moves and flows with us, the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. So when the Spirit of God comes upon that window upon us, and also touch that word that comes out of our mouth, that's why it becomes impactive and becomes real, because of that relationship with him. And as we spend time developing our relationship, so when we speak the word of God, we're not just speaking of a bunch of scriptures, but we're speaking the word to it is actually life coming from it. It is very impactive because of the love behind what we say. My God. So he says, the fruit of spirit love, joy. And the base of joy is love. Because I love him, I have joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength, because his love compels me, strengthens me. Because of love, peace. Inside of my peace, I find love. God's love is a motivating factor for peace to come forth. Long suffering, because I love him, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to endure. I'm going to keep on standing. I'm not going to give up because I love him. Because I love him, I'm going to walk in gentleness. I'm going to be gentle towards you. I'm going to be mindful of what I say as I'm encouraging you. I'm mindful of how I respond to you, because I want to build you up and not take you down. Because of love, goodness. I want to walk in goodness. I don't want to walk in terror and being bad towards people, just doing dirty stuff. I want to be right. Because of love, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to take his word in, apply his word to my life, and let his word begin to flow and function and do what it's supposed to do. Meekness. Because of love, I'm going to walk in meekness. I'm going to come humble to you. I'm going to come in the place of love. I'm not going to come all cocky and saying all kinds of stuff because of love. Temperance. Because temperance, I'm going to be mindful how I respond to life, how I speak, how I just do things, because I don't want to just do it just in any spirit or just any kind of way. But I want to show patience. You know, I want to show that love. That I'm going to show that love, whatever your way is going to function through love. And against such, there's no law. In other words, when it's done in love, there's no limit to that. Hear me what I say. When we love, this is why a lot of us find it hard to love some people and be religious. See, we can have a bunch of religion and can't love a soul. Why? Because we live in a bunch of rules. And you know, not only that, but we live in according to what we know or how our own ability. Because you know, religion only works out when according to what you put into it, you know, according to what you apply in it as well, is by your personal effort. But when we talk about functioning a relationship with God, that's why I can look a killer in the eye and say, you know what, I love you. Because my relationship with God will help me to love beyond my capacity. That's why some of us, oh, I just can't forgive them. Why? Because you have not come into that place of relationship yet to where you really surrender that area and place of life coming through forgiveness. When you can surrender your heart truly to God, when it comes down to surrendering, you can really love beyond the capacity of what you thought you could love. This is how people can be who get love that you probably say, oh, they shouldn't do love on them, but it's not according to your, it's not according to what you think or say. But because of God's love in me has compelled me to love them beyond what they even quote. Come on, that's how some of us got here. It wasn't because we did all the right things. It wasn't because that we was God's top pick. But his love for us. causes us to have some things that we shouldn't even, probably shouldn't even have, causes us to be in a place that we shouldn't even be. Some of us, we know everything we got is because of He loving us the way He does. He do. So understand this tonight. Without relationship, that's the thing that sets you apart from being in religion versus a relationship. Religion is a bunch of rules. You sit by rules and then you live regulations. But when you flow in by the Spirit and you really walk in that relationship with God, His love compels you. His love guides you. His love teaches you how to be patient with someone who you wouldn't even know we have patience for. His love is what causes you to give. God showed a great example. He said, because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. See, love will compel you to give when your body, probably your status, might say don't or can't. So when we truly follow through our relationship with God and allow His relationship to God to flow in our lives for real, it's going to produce love. That's how people can know that we're changed, because of evidence of love in our lives. Some of us are still just as mean that have our first day of being saved, still trying to hold grudges, still trying to do things that's not pleasing to God. See, we have to make a conscious decision and choose to do better. And that's going to be by love. Because we choose to love, it's going to be impactful. It's going to bring change in our lives. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You for what You said and done. We thank You, Lord God, for the impact of relationship. Oh, God, not religion. Religion can't impact lives for real like the way love through relationship can. Thank You, Lord God, for teaching us, showing us how to have everything in this perspective. We start being a religion, start doing the religious mindset and stuff. We might start there, but that's not where we want to ultimately finish, because You want to progress us from religion to relationship, to where we're not just doing things just because we're doing it, but we're doing it, Lord God, and it's going to cause a production, it's going to cause some things to happen. So, Lord, thank You for that, Lord. Even as You reminded me of what the gentleman said on television tonight, he said that if he's doing what he wants to do, his desire to do, he's not even working. It's a difference. So, Lord, thank You for helping us to get in that place with You, Lord, that's pleasing unto Your sight. That we should not allow the enemy to steal any longer. But as we grow in our relationship with You, we grow in our passion towards You. And we allow You, Lord God, to continue to feed us, protect us, build us in Jesus' name. So, Lord, thank You for the impact of the word tonight. Thank You for Your presence, Your power, Your anointing, Jesus. Pour out in us, Lord, through relationship, that we shall be able to release, Lord God, life, though everlasting. So, Father, thank You right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We choose not to be held back or held up. We choose and we embrace Your presence right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 If there's anyone at this time who may have any comments, questions, concerns, may feel free to call us. The number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press the Q button for amen. If you may have any questions or comments at this time. Amen. So glory to God. We thank God for showing us and really helping us to get from a place of religion to relationship. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Jesus, for helping us, for taking us to a place of You, Lord. So amen. Amen. If there's anyone at this time, once again, if you may have questions, comments, or concerns, amen, do call 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get it. Amen. So we thank the Lord for all this is said and done. Amen. To this point, just kind of wait around to see if anyone have any questions, anything, or prayer requests, anything. But just be mindful. This is what the Lord wants to do. He wants us to go from being religious or being religion to relationship. We need to get to a place where love is constantly flowing. It makes their His love makes the difference. So, amen. So we thank the Lord for that. And may God continue to bless each and everyone. We'll open the door for salvation. If anyone who needs to be saved, listen after me. Father, forgive me for my sins. Lord, I desire and I want to be saved. Thank you for bringing me to a better place in you, Lord, as we surrender all truth unto you. Thank you for the changes happening right now as you speak. Thank you, Lord, as we surrender all. Thank you, Lord God, for the proper impact, the proper change shall take forth through your word into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you for your heart and your mind, oh Lord, through Christ Jesus. And we thank you as we build you up for such a time as this. Lord God, as you build us up for such a time as this, we shall walk in what you've called us in. And in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If there's anyone right now, glory to God. If not, hallelujah. Thank God for joining us. Hallelujah. Next week, amen, as we continue in this vein. Amen. As we continue to go ahead. But truly, his heart is in his word. As we continue to take his word in, we go from being religious to relationship. Trust me, it makes a big difference in the world. Through all that we go through, being in a place of religion, sometimes this can't help. But we need to go to relationship. Thank you for hearing us tonight for the word of God, and may God continue to bless you all. Have a good night. God bless you. Amen.
Anybody in here been through some storms? If you've been through some storms, raise two hands. Well, I see some folks didn't raise their hand. I want to tell you, your storm is on the way. Do I have a witness here? All of us have to go through. Do I have a witness? In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you have to go through in order to get out. Do I have a witness here? Anybody here, if you've been through and God brought you out, I want you to tell two people, say, neighbor, I've been through, but I'm still here. Tell somebody else.
Victory. It's grace and mercy.
grace and mercy keeping me. Come on, say it. Oh!
Mercy and grace.